And Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. A boy fell out of bed in his sleep. And his father picked him up and put him back into bed and asked, "Son, what happened?" And the boy said, "I fell asleep too close to where I got in." It has been suggested that too many Christians have fallen asleep to too close to where they got in. Now, having done that, they're not in danger of falling out of grace. But really, they've made no progress since they become followers of Jesus. Our growth as Christians is like a marriage. When we fall in love and get married, we might think that that is all there is to it. Yeah, right. But some do. However, the longer we are married, the more we realize that our love is growing. And if it's not, we're in trouble. Rick Warren, in his book, The Purpose-Driven Life, says it takes years for us to grow to adulthood. Some might say, did they ever grow? Anyway, it takes a full season for fruit to mature and ripen. And the same is true for the fruit of the Spirit. The development of Christ-like character cannot be rushed. Spiritual growth, like physical growth, takes time. When we try, or you try, to ripen fruit quickly, it loses its flavour. In some places, tomatoes, for instance, are picked before they are ripe, so they won't be bruised as they go to the store. Before they are sold, these green tomatoes are sprayed with CO2 gas that turns them red. They look great, don't they? But boy, they're a disappointment to eat, aren't they? Yeah, they haven't got the flavour. No match for vine-ripened tomatoes that have been allowed to mature slowly. So there's real virtue and understanding. Real virtue in growing in Christ, there's real virtue in understanding that growth will happen over time. Now the thing is, when it comes to maturity, we tend to look at a person's years of living. And we say, well, they have lived 25, 40, 50, 60, 80, whatever number of years, and then at that point they commit themselves to Christ, well then they must be in Christ that mature instantly. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that, because your maturity has also in Christ then to grow to that place. Oh sure, there are skills that have been learned through the journey of life that will add into that mix. But actually there's probably a whole bunch of stuff that has to be unlearned. And stuff that needs to be changed and transformed. And so that is why the maturity into Christ is something that needs to continue. Now, in our reading from 1 John 2, it highlights the stages of growth towards maturity in our life with Jesus. And no matter where you are in your spiritual growth, what he has written will be relevant. On a similar topic, Peter in his letter writes, "You must grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ." Now, some things we need to get clear. Firstly, some think those who are more mature in the faith receive more of God's grace. Not true. Your spiritual maturity has no bearing on whether you receive God's grace or not. At the moment you choose Jesus and all he has done for you, God's grace is given to you. There are no degrees of grace. It's the same for everyone who follows Jesus. Paul in Romans 3 puts it this way. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who you are. I think that's cool. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness for himself, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. God's grace declares us to be in a right relationship with him, no matter where we are in our maturity as Christians. Secondly, spiritual growth does not affect God's love for us. God does not love those who have been a long time in the faith more than those who are new Christians. This is because his love is not based on what we can do, but on what Jesus has done. Jesus' disciples had trouble with this. You may remember at the Last Supper, they began to argue about who would be the greatest and who Jesus loved more. But Christ's love is unconditional. All we can do is believe and receive that love. And finally, spiritual growth is nothing to do with ministry success. If someone is always at church working and are always busy doing things, it doesn't mean that they're mature in Christ, it just means that they are busy. Spiritual growth is a process that all who follow Jesus must pursue. Again, Paul puts it this way: I don't mean to say that I've already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I've not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God through Christ Jesus is calling us. Philippians 3. Clearly we are to press forward or strive to become like Jesus. An impossible dream? Maybe, but it's a valid and exciting journey with God. So John writes, as we heard in our reading, I'm writing to you who are God's children because your sins have been forgiven through Jesus. The church is best kept secret. You are forgiven. So live as the forgiven and the forgiving. He says, I'm writing to you who are God's children because you know the Father. You know Father God. John is making it clear that he is writing to the children of God. Now, in one sense, we're all children of God's creation, but only those who have chosen Jesus and are his children are adopted into the family of God. Also, what John has said is important, so pay attention. It doesn't matter how mature your faith is, what he has written will help you grow towards a new maturity. Now, what's interesting in most of the earlier translations, and even amongst the contemporary ones, it says, I'm writing to you who are fathers and to sons and so on. A better understanding of that would be, I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith. That's what is being implied. I'm writing to you who are young. So here, I'm writing to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I'm writing to you who are young in the faith because you have won your battle with the evil one. I've written to you who are mature in the faith because you know Christ who existed from the beginning. I've written to you who are young in the faith because you are strong. John is saying, grow in your faith and become more like Jesus in your life. Press on toward the prize of becoming like Christ. We all need to hear this. Someone might say, though, but if I've accepted God and have chosen to be a follower of Jesus, well, then I'm in. Heaven is secure. Like that's meant to be the prize. Well, yes, if we've accepted Christ, yes, you are, as it were, in. Absolutely. But please hear this. Heaven is not the prize. You aren't converted to go to heaven. That is a consequence. You're converted to hang out with God, to grow in him, and to be his agent in your home, workplace, and community. Does that make sense? You know, we've talked so much, you know, get yourself saved, go to heaven, like an insurance policy. That was never God's agenda. Never his agenda. That is a consequence of the choice you've made. And that's cool. I'm really happy about that, to know with that absolute certainty where my eternal destiny lies. But that's not the reason that you accept Jesus. You accept Jesus for the work you do here in his name, in his spirit. So people may say, well then if I'm in, why have I got to worry about this other stuff? Why do I need to grow in the character of Jesus? Well, the first reason is because we're commanded to. Secondly, when you grow in maturity, you learn that life is not necessarily about you. In fact, it's one of those shifting changes, isn't it? As someone matures, they realise that, well, we hope they learn it, that life is not about them. It's actually about a whole bunch of other things. There's a film, and I can't remember what the film is. Oh, yes, The Vow, whereabouts she's all upset because things are not working out very well. And her husband sticks his head out and trying to be caring, trying to check, is all well. And she pipes back and, it's not about you. It's not about you. Pull your head in. I think there was another agenda going on there. But as we mature, you realise life is not about you. You've only got to have children to learn that. It's about God, actually. Our purpose is to glorify and to make his name great in our home, workplaces and community. And as we mature and realise this, we can live with a peace that is beyond all natural understanding. Last night, in the middle of the night when I wasn't sleeping, I was listening to the radio and I was listening to a BBC documentary, Soul and something or other. And it was talking about something which Kay and I have been on the fringes of, in that we know the people, of a move of God that has grown out of Reading in the United States. It is seen, and this is a BBC documentary, is seen as probably the largest and most significant growth edge in the Christian community and church today. But what is really interesting is, this is the person was talking about, is this is that a large group of them are millennials, that is those that have been born since 2000. Although that's a fudgy edge statement. And they are going there. Now what is also really interesting is they're largely not interested in institutional church as we know it. And I resonate with that. What they're looking for is a living faith in Jesus Christ that actually makes sense in the home, the workplace, in their recreation, whatever they're doing. They want something that is real and tangible. The other thing that's interesting is that often they belong to more than one church. That multiplicity of things. They're looking intentionally to see the hand of God by his spirit, power, healing, prophetic and other things. And it's captivating the interest, particularly of the young. It's where the largest numbers are. And it's worldwide. And I find that really significant and really interesting. And as one of the young people said, well, I was just looking for something and I go into church and it kind of looks like in 10 years' time it will all be over. I'm looking for something that's living, alive and real and makes sense and that I can experience. And that's where that edge is growing, and it's growing at a pace. Maybe there's something in there we need to hear as it relates to us in our life as Christians and in our life as a community. And coming to realize and to recognize and mature in Christ, we have this peace that passes all natural understanding, a peace that keeps us calm in the midst of the troubles and distress or whatever might be thrown at us. So my challenge and invitation to you today is this. Are you growing in Christ? Do you spend time with him in prayer? Do you spend time reading his book? Do you make meeting with others to worship a priority? Do you seek out opportunities to learn more of what it means to be a follower of Jesus? Do you go out of your way to be a living example of Jesus around those who are not yet Christians? And with that, can people see that there is something different about you? And when they look, they see that it is Jesus. Father God, we thank you for all that you have given to us in Christ. And we thank you for the invitation for maturity. And Lord, that's what we want. We want to grow in Christ. We want to be your disciples. We want more and more to engage with your generosity for us, and that that would flow out of us into our homes, our workplaces, our community, our recreation, whatever it is, and wherever we find ourselves. That the living Christ, his presence, we would carry that, and that people would discover the hope, the certainty, discover their value and the identity that God would give them, that is whole and free and life-giving and healing. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.